I mean, Viagra's been out for so long, there's generic versions of it that are just, I guess, like, get it up. Yeah, I don't know. It's like cheapy ones, like Flaccid Be Gone or whatever. Hard Up.
Flaccid Be Gone?
Yes.
Is that your brand? Yes.
FlaccidBeGone.com. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Katie's going to kick off. In the past couple of weeks, we have gotten an onslaught of listener mail, and we're going to do some of it right now.
That's right. And this is an email from listener Ramona B.
Ramona B.
Yeah.
What were you thinking of Ramona Beasley?
Yeah, I know, right? But, we love that. We're saying how much we love that name.
I love that name, Ramona. Name. Yeah. Let's bring it back.
Okay. It says, hello, ladies. It's been a long time. Oh, wait, no. The subject line is beer! Exclamation mark.
Okay. That caught our attention.
Hello, ladies. It's been a long time. I still have the shot glass you sent me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah.
Oh, the shot glass program.
They were limited edition. Those of you who have them, you're very lucky.
You're very lucky. Extremely lucky.
Yeah.
Anyway, give me beer. Sign me up.
Okay.
Also, the chick in with the Norwegian kid or one of those blonde countries needed to get her act together. You don't let a 4-year-old toddler hurt your feelings. Ugh.
True.
Yeah. Okay, back to work. Love you guys, Ramona.
It's so bizarre because I watch a lot of reality TV shows now, and a lot of the contestants, when they're doing contests, like cooking, they're like, I want my kids to be proud of me. My parents were like, piss off. Who are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they didn't care.
Well, this is in reference to an advice on advice from a previous episode wherein the mother was like, the mother was black and the husband was white and the child was like...
The child was basically not really cool with being black.
Yeah.
And made the mother feel bad about herself and the entire culture of the African-American people.
Which is like, and don't let a 4-year-old.
Yeah, you tell a 4-year-old what's up.
Exactly.
Really?
And then give me beer.
Yes.
This is a Barley's Angels reference.
Yes, Barley's Angels, which is a group of women who get together and drink.
Yeah, and beer, because because some places aren't women-friendly.
In a safe environment.
Yeah, so we were saying if any other woman wants to drink beer in a safe environment.
Yes, and we're talking about anybody, biological or otherwise. We're open.
Right. So, and so let us know with an email. Here we go. Is Ramona's number one.
Okay.
And I say, and I responded. And I said, you know, glad to hear you're down with beer.
I'm like, are you down with beer? Mm-hmm, me too. I'm all about beer.
And I said, you know, I was thinking we should do a beer day. We were talking about having a beer day.
Now that the weather's nice, we can do that. We get a nice piece of fruit in that beer.
But if we do pull off a beer day, we'll let you know. But we may have to do some virtual beer drinking, though.
Yes.
So what we're going to do, perhaps we'll have a, hey, you know what, beer chug. We'll designate a time and day.
Nice.
Day and time. And then at that time, wherever you are, you just shouldn't have a beer.
Yes. I like it.
Because if we can't get all our listeners together.
That's true, but we could virtually chug a beer with you guys.
Right.
I like it.
So we'll have to think of that.
But actually, I'm going to chug the beer. Like, it's not going to be virtual for me.
Yeah.
I will actually be having the beer at that time.
Okay.
In every time zone.
Right. Right. Every time the hour passes.
Because if we say it's 5 o'clock, it's like, you know, it's always 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah.
That's a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Ramona.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, we'll announce it one day.
Yeah.
This is the beer chug.
Yeah, the beer chug.
Hey, you know what beer chug.
Because classy.
Yeah.
Because classy. So I want to go ahead and kick off with some hashtag penis news.
Oh, okay.
This is where I talk about dick updates, scrotum stories, the member on the move.
Yes, you do talk
and
about them.
Dicks are in the news.
They are all
And I wanted to take, this is a dick news from the Far East.
What?
You know, keep it international.
Whoa.
It says here, growing opportunity. Wah, wah. Why Viagra sales are surging in China.
Oh.
So, I mean, there's an ass load of people in China.
Yeah.
So anything you sell in China, if it's even remotely popular, is going to be a surge. It says pharmaceutical giant Pfizer says sales of Viagra rose 47% in China last year.
Oh.
Yes. What's happening in China?
China's, well.
Yeah.
You'd think they wouldn't need that.
I you know what? Judging by the population, it seems like they're doing all right.
Yeah.
But maybe not. It says, making the Chinese market a rare, bright spot for the brand. So, basically now, Viagra's been out for so long, there's generic versions of it that are just, I guess, like, get it up. Yeah. I don't know. It's like cheapy ones, like Flaccid Be Gone or whatever. Hard Up.
Flaccid Be Gone.
Yes.
Is that your brand?
FlaccidBeGone.com. And there's also Cialis.
Okay,
as well. So it says, but in Pfizer, which is made by Eli Lilly, but Pfizer commands 60% of the market for erectile dysfunction drugs, you know, ED, as they refer to it, thanks in part to marketing. Viagra is a popular brand, and places all over China are advertising it. And they show a picture, and it's like a guy just coming out of a pharmacy. It says, sex toys, Viagra, condoms.
That's
just
it.
So you know. And really, the biggest competition used to be traditional Chinese remedies, such as tiger penis. And deer antler. Tiger penis, I get. Deer antler?
What is that? Wait a minute. Deer antler? That made
me, yeah.
You see, if someone tried to tell me deer antler was the thing to
was
get an
aphrodisiac?
Erection,
like,
get out of here.
I don't know. I mean, tiger...
A deer is a gentle animal. You don't need
apparently
that.
Not.
You don't
apparently
need that
they
in
get
the
it all. You've heard, you know...
You want something with some gusto.
Yes.
Right?
So, like tiger penis. Tiger penis... It doesn't work, but I understand the mentality behind it.
It's
the like penis.
It's a placebo, too, right.
It says one of the reasons why that Chinese men need more help from Viagra is that they are moving into the cities. They have a more urbanized lifestyle. So they're saying people who have been virile in the fields are now coming into the city and going flaccid. Uh-huh. Like the party is over. It said people in the city sit more, move less, exercise less, and have more bad habits. And that causes obesity, diabetes, and hypertension.
Sure.
And that's what causes the ED.
Oh.
So you would think if guys thought that they were not going to be able to get it up by being out of shape, that they would get in shape, right?
Yeah.
Instead
you
of
think.
Taking this pill. Because that's important. You know what I mean? Like, that's a reason to run around the block.
Right. I run for erections. Yes. That should be the new public service announcement.
It's for erections.
Yeah. All these guys should stop on the corner and they're like, they're running and they pause and they say, I run for erections. And then they take off. I run for erections.
I think their inflection might be different, but I like it. So it says here that also the country's high rate of smoking also increases like erectile dysfunction. I did not know that. I really
nobody wants to get down with a smoker anyway.
But like, wait till after a smoke. if you can.
Right.
If you can. I had no idea that smoking caused erectile dysfunction.
I had no idea either.
That's
it
another reason not to smoke.
Yeah.
It says 68, they're suggesting that 68 million urban Chinese men, will soon be in need of Viagra. So ladies, if you're in China, watch out. Because these dudes are coming armed.
Yeah.
To the dick with Viagra. And that is my hashtag penis news.
That's nice.
As a side note, I was just thinking, you know, you see these Viagra commercials, they're always targeted towards straight men. Is it just not a problem for gay men?
I guess not. Because they're running.
They're running.
And
they're doing
not
it right.
They're just, they know what to do.
It's interesting. I've never seen a commercial that would suggest that any gay men or bisexual men have a problem getting it up. Apparently, straight dudes, it's an issue.
Yeah.
It's an issue. So, I wonder, too, if there's anything for women out there in China, because they're going to need this. If all of a sudden these dudes are going to be wanting to get it on, the women are going to need to feel sexy as well.
Right.
So
what is the name of the pill for women?
There is nothing.
Oh.
Treat them nice? I don't know what the name of the pill is. And we don't cover vaginas. We don't have a hashtag vag news.
All right. So you're going to have to get your vagina news elsewhere, people.
Yeah, go elsewhere for that.
We only go for penises.
Try a men's program.
Yeah.
If you want to learn more about vaginas.
Right.
So that is my penis news. So Shay for all you out there who are speaking Mandarin. Okay, what do you have?
Well, I just want to say, you know, listeners, if you're experiencing some bleed-through sound,
okay,
you're in for a treat tonight because the music that we're hearing in our studio at the beautiful Funkadelic Studios is actually Cinema.
Yep.
And they are rehearsing four doors down from us, and we can still hear them.
Yes, and we heard that they're coming out with a new album next year. That's exclusive.
Are you allowed to say that?
I think I can say they're coming out with a new album.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know anything about it. I know it's an album.
Yeah.
And it's going to be new. I would assume that any band should be coming out with something new.
Oh, right.
Right?
Right. And we just saw them in the hallway.
Yeah.
And
they're awesome.
Yeah, and they're going to come back on our show.
My face melted a little bit just walking by them. They're that hardcore.
All right. I have here some more listener email.
Yeah.
Which goes into an article, too.
Oh, excellent. We love it when people send us emails. You can email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com, and we will read your missive on the air, and we will comment on it.
Yes. Okay, this one is from Grace B.
Okay. Oh, and the Hizzy. Yeah. I love me some Grace B. She always comes up with an article. Was she up late again?
I don't know if she was up
okay.
late.
Okay. I assume.
I assume she is. Grace, you got to get some sleep.
Yeah.
Or don't sleep.
Or don't.
And keep sending us articles.
Yeah.
We love it. It says here, funeral strippers are an actual thing in
Excuse
China.
Excuse me?
Funeral
We're
strippers.
Still in China now.
Yeah, to go on. I guess this
funeral
is where it's
Funeral strippers?
At. Yeah, yeah.
Are these black people in China doing this? Or these are Chinese people?
She says, hello.
It's something we would do.
It's all Chinese people.
Okay.
Hello, ladies. You can always count on Asia to show you, even though you might be oppressed, it doesn't stifle creativity.
Right.
As always, love the show. Great.
They're not going to let communism get them down. All right, so.
So they have actual funeral strippers.
Wow.
They're a real thing in China.
Okay.
So when we get caught up in the humdrum repetition of our day-to-days,
funerals?
Yeah, it could be easy.
That's one thing you know what?
This
we
is the
need
opening.
More at a funeral, is what we're saying here.
Yeah.
Like, we're tired of the same old boring,
yeah,
a hymnal.
Yeah, tears.
Yeah, you come up, you look at the body. A stripper would really kick it up a notch.
Right. In China, funerals appear to be far more interesting than the ones that people attend in the U.S. because they have strippers.
Okay.
The exotic dancers, some who even perform with snakes...
Wow. Oh, I'm coming to a funeral now. If I ever get to go to China, I'll be like, yo, has anybody died recently?
Yeah, right.
Will
or you just
strippers?
Read the obits and then head on
yeah.
over.
Do I make it rain with some yen? Or yuan? Sorry.
They're a part of the ceremony to honor those who have passed.
Mm-hmm.
While a sexy striptease next to a loved one's corpse may sound disrespectful.
I mean, yeah, it does. That doesn't mean I'm not going to like it.
And the Chinese families believe it to be an act that results in good fortune for their relatives' afterlife.
I'm sorry, but this does not... I don't know that much about traditional Chinese culture. I know a little bit. This doesn't sound traditional to me.
It says that the more people that come to a funeral,
mm-hmm.
that lured by the new dancers, the more clout the deceased will get on the other side. So the more people that show up helps them in the afterlife. So you got to
like
bring
it.
Them in.
Is there a bar? Is there an open bar? Hell, I might be the stripper.
I wish. I mean, hey, that's not a bad idea.
No.
Hmm.
I've never thought about this, a way to get people to finally attend funerals in large numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Chinese government has been trying to crack down on funeral strippers for some time.
Why?
Look,
girls gotta eat.
They're being fined for violating public security.
How?
Violating?
Are these like funerals
you know.
In Tiananmen Square or something like that? Like...
You know how dancing is.
Yeah.
It violates public security.
Yeah. Well, Giuliani didn't like it, so.
Yeah. So so that's great and everything. And then we receive another email
okay.
from Grace. Again.
A follow-up.
Saying, hello, ladies. Well,
she didn't like the way we covered that one. She anticipated.
Well, it was fun while it lasted.
Oh, no.
Forever vigilant Grace. The best.
That's awesome.
So it turns out the second part of this is the Chinese government does crack down on funeral strippers.
Oh, no.
They said they don't want anyone performing graveside anymore.
Boo-how, people. That means no good. Boo-how.
Boo-how.
Yeah, I took Mandarin for a while.
So what else can you say?
That's it. I need to learn how to say, make it rain on a bitch.
Yeah.
So I can get a job as a stripper at a funeral.
And penis news.
And penis news.
You need to say that.
Yeah.
Okay, in a statement released Thursday, whenever Thursday was,
okay.
the Chinese Ministry of Culture said it will work with police to enforce a ban on hiring women to dance and strip at funerals.
I'm sorry, have the police there just done away with every other kind of crime? This seems like a victimless situation here.
I know.
Women want to dance, people want to have people at their funeral, they want to be protected in the afterlife. What's the problem?
Yeah, and why does the government have to?
And is the Chinese government going to come up with something else? Right. Maybe have like, I don't know.
They should have, like, then cotton candy giveaways.
Yeah. How about ballet? Modest dancing. You know?
In a statement, the statement contends several obscene incidents, including one earlier this year in which six women were hired to perform an erotic dance at a funeral attended by small children.
I mean...
Wait a minute. This is a small children funeral.
Yes! Really? A funeral attended by small children?
Yeah.
It's interesting because when I think of, you think back, like, when you've seen something that we would now call erotic as a kid, what did we do? Snicker.
Yeah.
We had no idea it was going. Like, it's a lady and a man.
Yeah.
That's
We saw their butts.
Yeah. Yes, we saw their butts.
We saw their butts.
And we saw something else. We don't even know what that is, but it's funny.
Yeah, there was when I was in grammar school, we were told that we were going to go see Romeo and Juliet. This movie.
Hey. Oh, I love that one. That's the one from the 70s, right?
One from the 70s.
Yeah.
And it was like...
There's like a tit in that movie.
Right.
Right. They're small, but it's tits nonetheless.
Well, nobody wanted to go see it. We're all like, boo. And then,
William Shakespeare blows. I got you barred right friggin' here.
And then the letter went home to the parents that, you know, we're going to see this movie and there is some brief nudity in it. Mm-hmm. And the parents were like, no. And we all wanted to go see it.
Of course.
We're like, yeah.
Brief nudity is the best way to get people interested in something they don't want to see.
But it changed
kids.
Our minds. You know, we as kids, we're like, bring on the...
And that's when you decided to go to entertainment. You're like, I got one of those.
Yeah.
I can do this.
Exactly. That's exactly most of my work on stage.
Yes.
I'm being facetious, everyone.
Yeah. In a former career, I was a Chinese funeral stripper.
Yeah, and so also, this one man, he left instructions to his relatives before he died saying that he told his friends he wanted a hole to be dug in the coffin and have the girls dance in front of him so he could watch the dance.
Wow.
When he was dead. And sure enough, they did it. They put a little hole in the coffin.
He could check it out. I don't see anything wrong with this at all. It sounds 100% consensual. I mean, maybe if you're concerned about small children seeing naked women dance rhythmically, I guess, but perhaps in Chinese culture or in the parts of Chinese culture that are doing this, it's not a big deal to see naked women dancing.
Children come out of naked women all the time.
Exactly. Hopefully. Partially naked women. Partially clothed women.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, they're acting as if it's a sex show.
Yeah.
At a funeral, and, you know.
And if you don't like it, then just leave the kids at home.
Yeah. Or maybe we're underestimating the level of eroticism of the dance.
Well, there's a documentary film, Dancing for the Dead, Funeral Strippers in Taiwan.
No, it's not. They're calling it documentary?
Yeah.
Sounds like a porn.
It sure is.
Dancing for the Dead. I like that.
So thank you so much.
Wow. Grace B.
You're
very
awesome, Grace B.
Very interesting.
You go and do a shot. You deserve it.
Yeah.
Out of the Hey You Know It shot glass.
With a beer. Okay, so I have here, it says, there's 10 people-powered apps. So from time to time, we report on unpopular technology because we're freaked out by the coming robo-apocalypse.
Oh, and it's coming soon.
It is coming soon. Yeah. But this is even weirder for me. These are 10 people-powered apps. So apparently in San Francisco, people don't have any time to do anything for themselves whatsoever. So a bunch of apps have popped up whereby you can order whatever it is that you want.
Okay.
Right? I guess they're too busy making apps to actually go out and do things such as order flowers.
Oh.
So there's a Bloom Vat as an app.
Okay.
Sounds kind of confrontational. It delivers flowers and plants from a curated selection from $28 to $65. No extra delivery fee or tip. And I'm sure the person delivering is like, I beg to fucking differ. Like, are you kidding me? I don't like the idea. You don't tell me not to tip or to tip. You know, that's up to me.
Right.
Here's another one called Heal, H-E-A-L. You can get a house call from a doctor in about an hour for $100.
Is it a real doctor?
I hope so. Like,
oh my God.
Who else would it be?
Listen, you know, we've all seen these doctors, some doctors in New York. You know, when you move to New York,
you find out quickly that a doctor is not a doctor all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And so for these people, some people believe they're doctors if they put on a white coat.
Yeah, or if you just have an ad on the subway that's stuck in someone else's ad.
Yeah.
Like if you manage to get your ad behind the glass, behind the plexiglass, now you're a doctor.
If you put a piece of masking tape over someone's name, put your name there, you're now the doctor.
Can you make, you know, some kind of a postcard or business card from Vistaprint? Now you're a doctor.
Yeah.
It's as good as being in the
air. So you don't let that person in your house now.
For $99.
Sure.
Tip not available. There's another one called Lux, L-U-X-E. It's a personal parking valet. This one was kind of interesting. So basically you show up somewhere, like that, say San Francisco Financial District, and you hand someone your keys, and then they park the car for you.
Sure.
And then you tell them where you're going to be later. If you want to pick the car up somewhere else in a different situation, they will make sure that the car is parked and ready for you and be there with your keys.
Isn't that called a driver?
Yes, but this person doesn't have to drive you. They merely park for you.
Okay.
So the guy who was doing it, he said, in under 10 minutes, a valet named Ross, I'm so sure, was there with my car along with a foldable scooter and a ukulele in the trunk. So he gave the guy his car, gave him the keys, hopped on the scooter, and then ukuleled his way out of there.
Oh, God.
So that is
$5. Did somebody smack him, I hope? I really hope.
No, because I wasn't around.
Okay.
Here's another one. It's called Saucy.
All right.
So it's alcohol and cocktail ingredient delivery. What? It says about the same as a corner bottle shop. Now, first of all, if you live in a metropolitan area and you're not near a bodega that has beer, wine, and liquor, yeah. something wrong.
Right.
Like, you have other issues to worry
no
about.
No kidding. What neighborhood are you in if you I have no don't idea. Have access to a bodega?
It says no delivery fee, tipping coming soon. Like, when? Like, what does that mean?
Bodegas are the best because they're so small, yet they have everything.
They have everything.
Everything you would ever think of.
Yeah. There's another one here called Washio. It's one day laundry and dry cleaning service. They pick it up and they drop it off. But get this, $1.70 a pound?
Yeah.
I'm going to fight you for that. That's way too much.
You think
$1.70 a pound?
$1.70 a pound of laundry to get it washed and folded, delivered too?
Yeah. When I lived over in the hood, we could get that for like 65 cents. And that was, you know, a couple of years ago. That seems like a lot to me. But the biggest coup that I saw, and this was really what came to me in the first place, it says Amazon is going to start delivering orders straight to your trunk. To the trunk of your car.
Ew.
While it's parked. So Amazon wants to turn the trunk of your car into a mailbox. Only if you have an Aldi.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an Aldi, they have partnered with DHL Parcel, the online retail giant in Germany, and they will send packages directly to your car.
So then you can say, who put this junk in my trunk?
In German. Der junk. In their trunk. So it's basically, if you have an Aldi, you can arrange with them to say, you know, here's where the Aldi is going to be. They allow the delivery guy to open it at a certain time. They can put the item into your trunk. And if you don't like it, you can just, you know, put it back in the trunk or leave it there and tell them to come get it. So
I don't know. There's too many. Everyone's getting creative with the deliveries. I found, like, UPS left a sticky note on my door going, go to the convenience store.
Huh?
And I was like, what?
For what?
To go get my package that they couldn't deliver. Because I wasn't there.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So now they have this convenience store that, you know.
That will take the packages for you?
That will take the package. And they put it under the coffee maker, that little shelf by the coffee maker. It's like, are you kidding? Now everything smells like that little convenience
but
store.
But it's not just that, like.
It's like a deli.
Is there enough room under that coffee maker for everybody's packages?
Right.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
So maybe this trunk of the it's what they're saying.
And
here.
I picked up my package and he gave me a menu on the way out. The little, I was like, no.
You're like, that's not what I came here for. He's like, by the way, on Mondays we have a 2-for-1 on white wine. We know you like it. Don't front on us.
Right.
So it says here, it's a program that Aldi is going to be offering. It says Aldi Connect Easy Delivery. And it's saying they're trying to figure out a way to make it really convenient to get a package. And I, you know, really? Like, was there that much of a problem with it?
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
So anyway, yeah, I mean, I don't have a car, so this doesn't really apply to me. But I think it's an interesting idea.
It is an interesting idea, but it's just, it's like there, again, the creativity with the delivery.
But it's like you have an Aldi. How hard is your life? How inconvenient is anything for you when you're rolling around like in a $50,000 car?
I would like the delivery service where I wear a backpack and then the delivery person has to run behind me, open up my backpack and stuff it in.
You know, I like that too, but I would just keep it moving. I would run and like in a relay race and force them to catch up with me. And then they slip it into my backpack.
That's the next step. That's where we're going.
Wow. All right. So what do you have?
I have here 10 fun ways to celebrate Screen Free Week.
Who?
So apparently there
screen
is...
Screen Free?
Yeah. Okay. There is this now this Project Happy, whatever.
Huh?
Hashtag get happy. Exclamation.
Yeah, hashtag get this, buddy.
Yeah. They say, as a child of the 70s, I love my TV set with its 400 cable channels.
Can I ask you a question?
I gotta tell you, you didn't have 400 cable channels in the 70s, you idiot.
But when he means child of the 70s, does he mean he was born in the 70s?
I guess.
Or his childhood?
Whatever.
Okay. I'm like, is that us?
I guess.
Okay. Because when we were growing up, TV went off, but I don't remember being like, oh man, now I got nothing to do. I'm going to have to read a book or interact with another human or be okay with my own thoughts.
Yeah.
Like, it was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah, if you didn't have whatever it was.
Yeah. When the eagle came on, you're like, okay, that's it.
I also love my smartphone, which contains almost everything I think I need, except food and hugs for my family.
Okay. Yeah. I'm ready. At this point, I'm ready to turn on my smartphone.
Yeah. I love my screens. I banish all screens from my daughter's life on weekdays.
That's not fair to her.
No. If we don't like the screens, we need to put them down. Let's see. this is screen free week. It's May 4th through the 10th, so I guess we're missing it.
Okay.
It won't be.
I'm looking at two screens right now, B. Take that.
It's a campaign for commercial-free childhood to get people around the world to take a break from digital entertainment during the week so the kids can have a childhood that, that we all had, where we went outside and played with bugs.
But you have to, you know, introduce that.
Right.
Because I'm just imagining a bunch of kids sitting there looking at their palms like, oh, man, moving their thumbs back and forth. Like, what are we going to do?
Twitching. It won't stop. So it says here, children between the ages of 8 and 18 spend 4.5 hours daily watching television or being on their computers and some such.
Okay.
Anyway, so it says here for this week. For this week, it's no screen, so no like TV devices and things. So you have to live old school.
Okay.
So people are like, how do you live old school?
Oh my goodness.
All right. So they have suggestions. Number one is eat dinner together.
Okay.
There's no time to cook a weeknight meal. Consider frozen cheese pizza, which everyone can top with their own ingredients.
No, that's so bad for you. I'm sorry. I would rather have any theoretical child of mine watching TV than having a 2,000-calorie slice of pizza.
No kidding.
Like, really?
Yeah. A big plate of poison.
Yes.
Okay. And if it all sounds like too much, go out to eat.
Really?
That's what they're suggesting.
You lazy bee.
Then, hey, you're not sure what to say to each other when you're not looking at a screen? This is an article. This is where people are getting stuck.
Wow.
So we like to play Rose and Thorn game, where everyone gets to say one thing they liked about their day, the rose, and one thing that wasn't good, the thorn.
I like being away from you. I don't like having to deal with you right now. I want my damn screens. That's, I mean, these are kids, right?
Right,
so they're
going
to be honest. Right?
Yeah.
Roses and thorns?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've also heard this one. It's called High-Low.
Okay.
And I play it with my nieces and nephews when I visit them.
They come up with good stuff.
Well, they say, the high is when you came over today.
Oh, buttering you up. Yeah. The low is when you leave.
The low is, when I don't have enough for my new, whatever, device.
My screen, yeah.
My screen.
My screen.
Pull out board games.
Okay. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Jenga. Uno.
Jenga.
Oh, God. We just got a Cantina Junior to try next. Ooh, what is that?
What is that? Is that a drink?
I hope so.
Yeah. Okay.
We love eating burgers at our neighborhood pub because they have a bookcase filled with many of our favorite games. Ew.
That's weird.
I want to go there.
Yeah.
Number four is make like Laura Ingalls Wilder.
And what? And be scared every time you go to the bathroom and someone's going to bite you or snatch you up? I'm sorry. It was not cute back in the day for a young girl. Are you kidding me?
But they
read the book where she got her period. Nightmare. A fashion a tampon out of whatever they had back then.
Exactly.
Please.
And you're stuck out in the middle of the meadow rolling down the hill, and guess what?
Yeah.
But they suggest retales or ghost stories by candlelight to the family, even the teenagers.
Yeah, freak them out.
Yes, they may. Yes, they may say they hate it. So you can let them help pick another story they like. And you might learn about what they do like.
This is so bizarre. Maybe parenting has just changed dramatically. I honestly remember everyone's parents being like, get away from us.
Right.
We are doing adult stuff. You are not an adult. Go amuse yourself.
Right.
Get out.
Yeah. This is adult time and it's adult time.
And I'm sure
they're in different rooms.
If they had been able to see the things that we were doing, they probably would have been as horrified as these people are, you know, with the kids watching the screens. Because it wasn't cute. We're torturing each other. You know what I mean? Like, we were coming up with psychological and physical torture.
Right, right.
You know? That's what kids do.
Exactly. Like, find different ways in stories that they make up.
They're just like adults.
You're adopted.
Evil. Yes, you're adopted.
Yeah,
you can't. You notice no one else in your family has brown hair.
Right.
And you do.
Nobody, you know what? We heard mom and dad talking. They really didn't want you.
Yeah.
We found
them. They were like, they tried to cut it off.
Yeah. And number five, something to do is make art.
Okay.
Not sure how.
Stop.
Play a game where each of us fills up a paper lunch bag filled with cardboard leftovers, fabric scraps, buttons, pipe cleaners, and other art supplies to make grab bags. Pens, paint, and glue are on the table. Each person can make whatever art he or she likes from the bag.
I never had that stuff when I was growing up.
It's a bag of garbage.
Yeah, it sounds like a bag of garbage. But it's like, I always thought it was weird because I had a couple of friends, they were, you know, white friends whose parents were like overbearing. And we would go over to their house and they'd be like, have a craft table. I'm like, what the fuck is this? We came over here to like play dolls or like do our own thing.
Yeah.
Now we have to make a craft? It's like work.
I don't want
to
make that.
You need to sell this in the market? Jeez. Piecework? I'm eight.
Still doubting your own artistic abilities? Grab a kid's coloring book for the young ones, an adult coloring book for you.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Wow. An adult coloring book?
Someone gave me a Ryan Gosling coloring book.
I don't even want to know. I've heard about that coloring book. I want to see the dancers, the Channing, what is it? What's his name? Channing Tatum. Get
Channing
that coloring book.
Oh, the Magic Mike.
The Magic
Mike
coloring book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be
fun.
Nice. I would like that.
The Ladies of Tampa spread page.
And there's a big bubble coming out of Dallas's mouth.
Dickie Dallas.
Yeah. Where he's like, what is his catchphrase again? I'll rattle.
Oh, right, yeah. All right. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
An adult coloring book?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then it says, take a hike. Go to a trail and take a hike.
You take a hike.
Right. Join like-minded friends and hang out with them.
Yeah, don't hang out with people who have different ideas than you do. For example, Republicans.
Yeah.
Or Democrats. Whatever.
Yeah.
Stay away from them.
It's a whole week to do this too much.
Huh? I forgot. Yeah, we're doing this for a whole week.
We're doing it for a week. So a week, if you find a week is too much to pry your eyes away from
the screen. I can see it now. Parents found assaulted.
Yeah, fair enough. It sounds like a lot to me, too.
Okay.
So why not try it for the weekend? So just do it for a short.
First of all, just do it on a Thursday afternoon between the hours of 4 and 7. And don't worry about
it. Yeah. So that's how to... such a woeful article. They don't know how to interact with each other.
It's so strange because I really remember us all spending so little time with our parents.
Mm-hmm.
We were busy.
Yeah.
Like doing stuff.
Doing a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
I was walking around. Yeah, you walk around, you make up games.
Walking around making up some game that had, like, no point, that had a lot of rules.
Yeah.
And that you could win.
Yeah.
Or you and your friends could win, and people who weren't your friends couldn't win.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, what else do we... I mean, I grew up in the country, so, you know,
you
some of the
song.
Stuff we did
you
was,
sing...
like, Huck Finn style.
Oh, yeah, Huck Finn style.
Yeah.
Like
so we would, like...
paint a fence?
Nah, close. We try to make, like, a clubhouse or, you know, like, try to do, you know, country stuff, like find a stream or find tadpoles and, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we really did not want to be up underneath adults. And that's exactly how we would say it, too. Like,
really?
The adults would be like, get up off from underneath of us. And we would be like, we don't want to be up underneath you. You know what I mean? Like, we wanted to be our own. We were kids and we were, like, happy to be kids. And we didn't want any part of that adult stuff.
Right.
People did have video games. I remember... my next door neighbor had like Pole Position, and everyone was all excited. I went over there. I was like, man, this shit is low budget.
Yeah.
You know, like it wasn't that exciting. But also we went to arcades.
Yeah.
Which is, maybe the real problem is that people are concerned that their kids are spending too much time alone with the screen as opposed to like together with the screen. Because anything kids do, adults are not going to like it.
Right.
If they do it too much. Doesn't matter what it doesn't matter if it's dancing. We saw Footloose.
We know what happens.
We know what happens.
We also did the complicated hand clapping games.
Where
you do the shaking and the clapping and the hitting.
We used to play like double dutch. I was very, very bad at it. But, you know, we had rhymes and things like that. And those rhymes were nasty.
Yeah.
Like they were not, like it seems wholesome now, but we were definitely talking about dicks.
Oh, yeah. It's like they were out in the woods.
Yeah.
And the boy and girl did this.
We talked ass was always something that you could rhyme a lot of things with.
Yeah.
You know, like it was not whatever it is that we were doing. We made sure to do it away from adults because if they had seen that, they would have been like, no, we got to cut this shit
that's
out
right.
now.
Right.
So that's interesting. No screen time.
No
huh?
screens.
I don't know. I don't have that much contact with kids. So maybe they do spend a lot of time on their screens. But I also remember because I read a lot of people being like, you're always reading a book. I'm like, really?
Yeah. How dare you, Jaquetta?
Yeah.
Why are you reading a book?
Like you can bring in a book to the table. I'm like, well, the conversation's lacking.
Yeah.
So.
I used to love it going to the library in the middle of the summer because
it was
air conditioned.
It was cold.
Yeah.
And there were few kids.
And
quiet.
Yeah. But I had to bring my peanut butter and jelly sandwich and eat it outside really fast because it was hot out.
Really? That's hilarious. I can just imagine you dipping out like right by the door, like,
yeah,
and then
exactly.
back in.
Exactly.
Nice. Nerds.
Yeah.
Right?
I was reading books like Alive about this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wasn't supposed to be reading that. It's like, wow, people ate each other.
I remember trying
to... Because they had nothing else, and I have this peanut butter and jelly. I bet they wanted that.
I remember surreptitiously migrating over to the young adult section
when
I was not a young adult.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And being like, woo!
Getting all the Judy Blume.
Yep, getting all
the
Judy
Blume. And
the
flowers in the attic.
And then also looking at the Mad magazine and being like, ah, boob.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I was a girl, but it's
but
still
it's,
like,
it's
you know
idea.
You're not supposed to be looking at it.
Right, it's nudity. It's nudity and you're not supposed
even
to look at it.
Even though it
naked
just
adult.
Looks like a C and a dot. It's still exciting.
It's still like, woo! This is another world.
This is all about it. Okay, so I have here some information on how to deal with small talk. Because you know I hate small talk.
Yes.
I just can't deal with it.
We have a handful of friends that hate it, too.
Yeah, that's why we're friends.
Yeah.
We only have a handful of friends, and they all fucking hate small talk.
It really, you see each other, and it comes out with some hardcore truth.
We start off, you know, we start in deep.
Yeah.
So it says here, do you hate small talk? You're not alone. Maybe you're shy, maybe you're bored, and then I put, or maybe you're black. Then you get irritated by endless, meaningless chatter. But so this article is saying that you've got to figure out a way to do small talk. Like, yeah. Small talk is actually really important.
Really?
Do you dread family get-together? I mean, yes, that has nothing to do with small talk. Do you hate going to your spouse or partner's business functions? Are you worried about all the weddings you have to attend? I think that's past for us.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we're seeing round twos.
And we're seeing round twos, right. And now we've got a lot of funerals.
Oh, yeah, funerals are coming up. So are you worried about the weddings and where you'll have to sit and making small talk with acquaintances who you have no desire to get to know better? When I go to a wedding now, I get loaded. I wear a wig. We can talk about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I bring something, you know, to talk about with me. I don't just let the conversation work from the room.
Yeah.
You know?
You make it happen.
I make it happen.
Right.
Do you avoid going to happy hour with your colleagues because you don't want to stand around making auto conversation while you're trying not to get embarrassingly drunk? No, I just get drunk.
Yeah.
And let them worry about it. Why should I be embarrassed? Right. I'm the one who's loaded. I don't have to see what I'm doing. So
that's right.
Yeah, it's not my fault.
Let them pick up the pieces.
So it says here that small talk is actually very important, a very important social skill. It can make the things less painful. You can get extra points with the boss, your colleague.
What?
It will make family events, weddings, and
what
other...
boss is like points for that small talk?
Who's ever been a wedding to be like, the small talk was on point? I could not believe it.
Jaquetta, you get a raise. Your small yes. talk is exceptional.
The way you talked about the weather, captivating. All right. So it says, one, pay attention to little things. Psychoanalyst Harry Stack Sullivan.
Nice.
He's already got small talk something yeah. built in right there. Mm-hmm. Harry Stack?
I like it.
And he's using all three names. Why not just go with Harry Sullivan?
Okay.
Like, Harry Stack Sullivan. He says, psychoanalysts believe that the real nature of a client's difficulties could be found in the tiny details. So you don't want to try to do therapy or dig out deep, dark secrets at happy hour. No, you do.
You do.
You really. That's why you're drinking.
I had some of the best stuff come out during a nice drunk happy hour.
You got to be like,
oh, yeah. For yeah. other people. Well, I'm sure I've let a few go.
There are probably some people like you and me out there who are like, let's see what we can dig up on Katie.
Yeah.
From Katie.
Yeah.
Give her a lychee martini. She loves it. Like, so the way that you can get important information by asking about apparently unimportant information.
Okay.
So you can ask about the weather, but you can find out, is she still sleeping with the secretary?
Okay.
That kind of thing. For instance, at a party, recently a man began to tell me about different areas of coffees that he'd been trying. As a non-coffee drinker, I didn't give a shit, I'm paraphrasing. But the guy then went on to talk about some program he started for people in like a, you know, a developing nation about coffee, and it actually turned out to be very interesting. Number two, it says, consider small talk as a first step in a process.
In a process. Oh, okay.
Asking what someone does for a living or where they grew up is not just an opening. It's a way of saying, I'm interested in who you are. I mean, kind of. I'm just trying to suss you out to see if this is going to go any further. Listening and commenting on small details and adding your two cents can take you further than you might think.
What could somebody say that would shut you off right away from like, hey, what do you do for a living?
I hate black people. But professionally. And that actually may or may not work for me. I'd be like, really? Are you with the Klan?
Right.
You know? No, I heard that you don't like us, but I'm just trying
yeah,
to get
right.
to that.
So you would, okay.
I'd like to be able to answer people in the form of a John Cougar Mellencamp song.
Oh.
When I'm asked, I go right into I was born in a small town.
Oh. It was a little pink house.
Yes. It says, here, talking about apparently unimportant facets of daily life can lead to deeper discussions because they make everyone feel comfortable.
You may have met Jack and Diane.
Yeah, a little ditty about them. Two American kids growing up best they can.
Yeah.
Yeah, what if I just started, that will be my story. I'm just going to go right into that.
Jack and Diane.
And go to Jack and Diane, yeah. And then maybe I'll go over to some Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Why not? Because I'm free. It says here, small talk can also protect you.
I don't know if from bullets.
As you listen to the small pieces of information that person shares, you get a chance to make an assessment about whether or not you feel comfortable with them.
All right.
I have no, this goes along with your article. It's so bizarre. Like, people are really, the social graces are just flying out the window. Like, small talk, I feel like so many people hate small talk right now. Can we get rid of it?
Well, in its place, what are you supposed to do?
I don't know, but we used to kiss, people used to kiss women's hands, and we came up with something for that.
Yeah.
Like, true. There's ways to replace it. Maybe don't say anything.
Yeah. I would say start everybody by not talking to people on elevators if you don't know them.
Please don't. And especially if it's an African American, we feel very uncomfortable in an elevator already.
And if you're.
The last thing we need is somebody questioning us about the weather that we don't care about. If you're going to do something on an elevator, fart.
At least.
That really breaks the, the ice, as it were. Bizarre small talk. Okay, what do you have?
Speaking of small talk, these are 7 questions you should ask yourself at the end of each day.
Really? That's going to be real small. Really, really. My first question is laughing. There wine at home?
Yeah. Like, I can't wait to unpack this gut.
Yeah.
That's not a question.
What's on Netflix? Man, these dogs are barking. Let me get them up.
Wait, these are all statements.
Yes. Are these dogs barking? Does this gut need to be unpacked? How do you know? How can you tell? Okay. So this is 7 things you should ask yourself at the end of each day. And at the end of each episode.
We ask everybody questions all day. Why don't we ask ourselves questions? That's how the article
starts. Why don't we ask that? Because it's fucking annoying. That's why. I hate it when people start asking me a lot of questions.
It says, if we don't, we may be framing our own mindset through someone else's lens. So if you're asking everyone else questions, you're getting their perspective. But you need to ask yourself a question.
Okay.
To get your own perspective.
Okay.
So here's 7
big
ones.
Can I just think? No? Okay.
No.
No.
You've got 7 big questions to ask yourself at the end of every day.
Okay.
And because it can help you get perspective on your day and then set you up tomorrow for better success.
Okay. I'm dying to find out what they are. They better be good.
1 is, what did I learn today?
Oh, come on. I learned that I need to get up earlier and get a better night's sleep. I learned that I need a case of wine. And not just this one wine at a time thing.
I learned that I need to reread my emails before I hit send.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next question is, how do I feel? So you go home and you're like, how do I feel?
Tired.
Yeah.
You know how I feel.
Right.
We live in the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area. We're beat.
Tired.
Probably annoyed.
I was exhausted. I went to jury duty.
For a minute.
For a hot
Ladies
minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, most people's jury duty stories do not end as lovely as Katie's does. Katie was in jury duty for a day.
A day. And they let me go. And it was, but the area, the
Where
neighborhood.
Is?
Was horrible.
Really?
Just walking through it, I was exhausted because it was so ugly. It was so ugly. Oh,
really? Is there a municipal part of Hoboken?
It's not Hoboken.
Oh, you have to go outside of your area.
Yeah, I don't want to shame this neighboring city right next to Hoboken.
But we can take a guess.
But it's not Weehawken.
It's not. And they apparently have a shabby town center.
But I found a dollar on the street, and that was the best part of the day.
Nice.
So in any case, I'm just saying, like, I feel exhausted.
That's every day.
Yeah. How do I make others feel? How did I make others feel today?
Who cares? That's their problem. They should ask themselves, how did Jaquetta make me feel? How did Katie make me feel? Why should I be pondering that? And how? I should call them up.
Right.
How else will I know?
Yeah. Yeah, right. How do you know unless you...
How did I make you feel today?
I don't know.
Yeah. Not so good.
Oh, you made me full today because you bought me dinner.
Oh, that's right.
Thank you.
Better luck next time. Yeah.
Okay. And next one is, what can I do better tomorrow?
Everything.
Everything.
Right?
Just everything.
Just the whole thing.
Your day was a failure.
Yep. It's over, thank goodness.
What am I grateful for?
Oh, no.
Wine.
Yes, wine. What am I grateful for? That this day is over.
Right. How much stress did I experience?
All of it. Like, the whole thing. How much stress is there? How long is a piece of string? You know? How much stress? Jeez. Really? I don't think I would make it through. This is, if I had a bad day and then I read these questions, forget it.
How long is a piece of string?
You've never heard that before?
No.
That's what people used to say when we were kids and we would ask a bunch of questions that that they couldn't answer. Yeah. And they would be like, how long is a piece of string? A valid
I never
question.
Heard them.
Put that on the number 9.
All right.
How long is a piece of string?
That's right.
Yeah.
And the last one is, what made me smile? What made you smile today?
Hmm.
after I sent the email, I didn't read.
Just, we had no immediate answer for that. We're like, made a smile? I don't know.
Yeah, I was just thinking of the other person reading my email.
I think flossing probably made me smile involuntarily.
Right.
In order to be able to do it. I think that's about it.
These are the questions.
Yeah. Interesting.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
The Hey You Know It microphone is flaccid, shall we say.
It is actually...
I think it's actually going to... It's slowly falling.
It's slowly falling over. And
what can we do to prop it? Here, let's prop it up with something.
Okay. This Hey You Know It microphone...
it's a 5-year
microphone. It's a 5-year-old microphone in the stand suddenly.
Is there any way we can like...
Yeah, just do that.
Here, I'm on your material, though. You want to grab your material. Man, this is ghetto. This is like... Hey, you know what is up on blocks.
We have the worst setup right now with our mic.
It's because we're doing it ourselves. We're like garage band. You know? Wow, this is so bad. This is actually, we'll be taking a picture of.
We'll be taking a picture.
And this will be the cover of the next podcast. Because this just looks shoddy. Wow.
We need help.
Wow, we really do need help. Anyone else wants to send us a new microphone, let us know at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
That's right.
Wow.
Ugh.